Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. In this first half of 2 Samuel chapter 23, we have the last formal words of David and the deeds of three of the mighty men of David. Let's begin by reading the first seven verses. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth, by clear shining after rain. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not make it increase? But the sons of rebellion shall be as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in their place. Let's begin our study of this first portion of 2 Samuel chapter 23 with some background notes. In verse 1, we read that these are the last words of David. Now, does this mean that when David uttered these words, that he never spoke another word in his life? He just lay down on his bed, took his last breath, and died? Is that what verse 1 means? No. The point is that these are the last formal words of David. Now, most of your translations show that these first seven verses of 2 Samuel chapter 23 are written as Hebrew poetry. It is a poem of praise to the Lord. In this poem, David praises the Lord for his righteousness and his everlasting covenant. Furthermore, this psalm of praise is prophetic. It looks beyond David and his experiences to the Messiah, as is typical of many of David's Psalms. David says in verses 3 and 4 that the Lord told him that the king who rules over men righteously is as a cloudless morning when the sun rises and as glistening new grass after a refreshing rain. What a wonderful description of conditions when folks rule righteously, whether they be kings or government officials or church leaders or parents. In verse 5, David acknowledged that he fell far short of the ideal righteous ruler. Everybody see that in verse 5? Although my house is not so with God. But God had made an everlasting covenant with him, and that covenant included the promise of a coming righteous ruler, the Messiah, who would be in the line of David. We saw that covenant back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Where God promised not only blessings and prosperity under Solomon's reign, but blessing and prosperity for the enduring Davidic dynasty and the coming Messiah. He would be the perfect righteous ruler. As Psalm 72, verses 6 and 7 says, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish. Psalm 72, verses 6 and 7. All of this blessing of the Lord's future earthly kingdom is affirmed here in David's Psalm of Praise, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Besides the promised blessing and prosperity of Christ's coming kingdom, we see in verses 6 and 7 that there will be judgment as well upon the godless and rebellious and upon those who would oppose the Messiah and his people and his kingdom. The New Testament, of course, confirms this judgment of the ungodly at the end of the future tribulation period and at the setting up of Christ's earthly kingdom. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 40, where we have the Lord's explanation of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 through 43. Now let's look at some further teaching of this Psalm of David in 2 Samuel chapter 23 under our first doctrinal point. So doctrinal point number one, the words of David's pen convey inspired words of Scripture. The words of David's pen convey inspired words of Scripture. In one of the commentaries I read on this Psalm of David here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, the author gave a nice alliterated outline of David's words about himself in verse 1. As to his person, he was the son of Jesse. As to his position, he was the man whom the Lord raised on high. As to his power, he was anointed by the God of Jacob. And as to his practice, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now in verse 2, David makes a claim about his words. Look at verse 2 once again. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. David is claiming here that God spoke through him, and that when David spoke, or then wrote the words of the Lord, it was the Spirit of God who was guiding and controlling what he said and wrote. This is quite a claim, isn't it? We could not make such a claim for ourselves, could we? David is here affirming the divine inspiration of his writings. Divine inspiration is the process by which God superintended the writers and writings of Scripture. As to the writers, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. And as to the writings, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. As a spokesman for the Lord, David claimed divine inspiration. The words of David's pen convey inspired words of Scripture. Doctrinal point number two. The deeds of David's men portray insightful lessons from Scripture. The deeds of David's men portray insightful lessons from Scripture. Verses 8 through 12. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bashebeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captives. He was called Adno, the Esnite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who had gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. We've mentioned a number of times already in our talks from Samuel that David as king is a type or spiritual picture of Christ our King. It stands to reason then that David's mighty men picture believers who are willing to serve the Lord our King courageously and sacrificially. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, 37 mighty men of David are listed with their achievements on behalf of David, their king. Here in verses 8 through 12, we have the achievements of three of David's mighty men. Now, for the sake of time, I'm reading some excerpts from an issue of Devotions for Growing Christians that I wrote some time ago entitled David's Mighty Men. Quote, "The fact that God keeps a detailed record of the names and exploits of David's fighting men is significant. It indicates to us that God records our personal service too. Other Christians may not be aware of your behind-the-scenes service for Christ, but God sees and knows you as an individual soldier and will reward every act of faithfulness." Spiritual lessons can be found in the various acts of service of David's mighty men, and this is one reason for a listing of their names. As already intimated, in many ways, King David portrays the coming Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his time of rejection that David particularly pictures Christ. As David was the anointed and rightful king, but was unrecognized and rejected by the establishment, so Christ, right now, is the rightful king over mankind. But he is unrecognized and rejected by this world. Those who recognized David as king had to be willing to join him in the wilderness and share in his unpopularity and rejection. In the same way, we who have recognized the Lord Jesus as king have joined him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, Hebrews 13:13. Certainly we can identify in a spiritual way with those people who came to David in the wilderness, people in distress, people in need, and people who were dissatisfied with the established system. Out of that motley bunch of people, the mighty men of David emerged, and some of their heroic deeds are recorded here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Their feats portray the activities of believers who have made Christ their king. With this in mind, then, it is very easy to see that the actions of David's mighty men on the battlefield contain lessons for us about spiritual warfare. Josheb, Bashibet, verse 8, and Abishai, verses 18 and 19, overcame great odds. So can we. Eleazar, verses 9 and 10, stood and fought the enemy even though his fellow soldiers had retreated. Even though he was at the point of exhaustion, he would not rest until the Lord brought victory, great victory. Spiritual warfare is very draining at times. Even though others may throw in the towel, great victory comes to Christians who hang tough and don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Galatians 6:9. Shammah, verses 11 and 12, defended the position and provision of the Lord's people. The Lord is looking for Shammahs of today who will defend the faith and be willing to go to battle for the Bible. In Jude 3, we are exhorted to contend earnestly for the faith. End of quote. Now, you can read the rest of this essay on our website, growingchristians.org. The deeds of David's men portray insightful lessons from Scripture. Now, what about practical application from 2 Samuel chapter 23? Are you listed with the mighty ones? Are you listed with the mighty ones? Every man who joined David in the wilderness entered into David's kingdom, but relatively few made the list of David's mighty men. The practical application is obvious. Every Christian is in the kingdom of Christ, but not all Christians are on the Lord's list of mighty ones. When the rewards are given out at the judgment seat of Christ, only those believers who have been willing to serve the King with courage and loyal devotion in times of difficulty and persecution and rejection will stand out as the Lord's mighty ones. Are you listed with the mighty ones?